Desire of our heart is our life to sing that song, praise God, praise God, praise God. We sing it one more time. I want you in your heart to say, Lord, I want this. As a sincere prayer in your heart, say, Lord, I truly want my life to sing this. Yes. Let's sing it one more time. Praise God, praise God.
Praise God, praise God, praise God.
Seated if you'd like to. Count it a blessing to be among you today. And I'm in the pressure seat this morning, Brother Tony. Yeah, a lot of times I can pray for Brother Tony. Say, Lord, help Brother Tony be able to get himself out of the way. So now I need Brother Tony to pray for Brother Daniel. Say, Lord, help Daniel get out of the way. We just want to bring forth before you what the Lord has laid on my heart. And expecting a few other guests to come this morning. I haven't seen them, but where two or three are gathered, they'll be in our midst. Amen? So, and I want to say a special, special, special hello to Sister Gloria. God bless you, Sister. I'm telling you the honest truth. Every Sunday, I'm looking at that door waiting for Sister Gloria to come through. So, just God bless you. Good to see you. Amen. I don't mean to embarrass you, but you're missed. Anytime you're not here, anybody is that's not here. So, wanted to go right into the Word of God this morning. I give her all the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5, let's read verses 15 through 27. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto the God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here, Lord, and I ask you that you'd help me get myself out of the way, Lord, that you can speak, Lord, speak to our hearts, Lord. Draw us all closer to us, Lord. Help us to see your perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to speak to y'all on a little thought of seeking the will of God. You know, it's easy to try to do a service when it's not God's will. And if you're trying to do a will that's not God's service, it can be a problem. Because you can try to do the right things, but because it's not his will, it can be a terrible thing as far as obstacles. And there's a couple things I want to go over with you. In a football game, you can run around, you can sweat, you can get your heart rate going, and even make noise. But if you are not affecting the movement of the game, you're just making noise and going through the motions. We must affect the movement of the game. If it's defense, you're to stop the ball and not allow the offense to complete any play that they have planned. There is a main movement in any game or operation. If we are given the opportunity to go through the motions, or we are given the opportunity to either just go through the motions, or we can get the same mind and do the right thing as far as the main objective that you're trying to accomplish. So you're easy to go through the emotions and not be doing your part and moving the game. In a football game, first thing you must do is learn your position. And we are positionally placed because of the talent or the body structures that we have. In other words, if you have some little guy that's 95 pounds, you're probably not going to put him on the front line if you've got a 300-pound guy in front of him. Nothing against the guy, but he's probably not going to be very successful in the position he's at. So it's you're positionally placed by the character that you have, your body structure that you have. That's why you're in the position that you're in. So that's why it's very important that we know our position. Could you imagine a man trying to be in a position he's not called to and be defeated terribly and kind of find out it's because he's in the wrong position in the first place? After we learn our position that we're in, then we must learn to stop doing this and start doing this. You've got to stop doing this. You've got to start doing this. And we're talking about walking circumspectly. The better that we each person can fulfill our own position, the better we will be and the better our team will be. There are many buildings around the world. And their name, they've got a name of a church on the outside of the building. And there are many ideas of what it requires to be a part of the church. Well, the scriptures tells us what it is. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. And what we're speaking on is seeking the will of God. And I want to make this very clear for you this morning. I want you to don't allow the devil to distract you, because it's easy to see the will of God for somebody else. It's easy to look at Brother Brennan and see the will for him. It's easy to see the will of Brother Tony. But I want to see what is the will of God for my life. Because the more effective I can be in my life and what God has called me to be in my position, everybody that I am in contact is going to be blessed. And we have the ability of the bride of Christ. Anywhere we go, we can be the most blessed of the earth. Not because we have the most financial, not because we have these, it's because we have the Word of God of this hour. Amen. Amen? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read verses 4 through 11. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Amen. God has a will. And I want to show you something to keep in perspective. We're talking about the will of God. And in a church, you'll have some that will have the gift of tongues, that can speak in tongues. You'll have some that will have the gift of prophecy. You'll have some that will have the gift of ministry, so to speak. But all these gifts are all operated by one Spirit. Amen. And it's also operated by one will. And if you're as long as you're working according to the same will, you're going to get the same result because you're all pointing towards the same direction. Is that right? But you know, if it's whenever you're operating from a different spirit, that's whenever two different people can collide with one another. And could you imagine a conductor? He'll be standing in front of his musicians. They've all got their musicians and they're playing the song and they're playing, I don't even know the name of the instruments, but you can just imagine in your mind what ones they have, violins, then the big guitar, I don't know what they are, but you know what I'm talking about. They've got all these musicians, but this conductor can wave his wand, and he will tell them simultaneously by the waving of his wand what note they need to play, how high they need to play it,
because they're in harmony. And what gets them in harmony is each individual person knows their position, they know their instrument, they know the signal. When he rings his hand like this, I know what I'm going to do with my instrument. This is what I'm going to do. But the thing is, I can't worry about what this other person's doing with their instrument. Let's say I'm a flute. I'm not going to worry about what the guitar's doing, because if I'm worrying about what the guitar's doing, guess what? When it's my turn to play my part, I'm not going to be ready because I'm distracted. Right. I need to be focused on what is my position in this? What is my part to play in this movement? Because we are in a movement of redemption. Can you say amen? There's a lot of things that happen in there's life. There's bills that have to be paid. You've got to go to school. You've got to do the dishes. You've got to do the laundry. You know, you've got to do all these things. You've got to do missions work. But even in that, you can miss the movement. The movement is redemption. And it's so easy to get focused on the things of life, the cares of life, that you forget about all this stuff. Doesn't even matter, because if the rapture happened tomorrow morning, what would it matter about all the things that we worry about? Am I the only one that becomes a worry board sometimes? No. Every one of us, because this is what your battleground is right here. And we have to remember, we have got a will of God that God wants us to be in. And the best way that we can be effective, and no matter what position of life you're in, the best way you can be effective is for you to know what is the will of God. And what's the will of God for my life? Because then when you're walking towards the will of God, it don't matter if the winds start blowing you, you keep turning right back to the will of God of redemption. Because I promise you, the winds of tribulation will come at you. It's so easy to praise the Lord when the mountaintops, you're on the mountaintops, the music's playing, you got the Holy Ghost bumps. And friends, I'm telling you, when you pray and you can't feel the presence of God, when you go to try to read your Bible, it's like you're just knocking on it, that's when the battleground is at. And that's where we are now. Amen. There is a will for the song being played, and every musician must focus on their part of the song for every one to carry out the same will. There is a will for the church. God plagued Egypt with several plagues until the final plague, which was the death angel. The will of God was to get behind the blood, and it still is, to get behind the blood. They were to take the lamb without blemish, strike it on the doorpost with a hyssop, stay behind the blood, and then the whole family must partake of the lamb. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. We're going to read verses 7 through 13, and she'll have all these scriptures for us. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sardine at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Amen. People can have their own opinions of what God meant of this message of Goshen and of the Passover. They can have their own opinions of saying this is what he really meant. And preachers can preach really merciful of saying God understands. You don't really have to live this strict of a life. God is a really merciful God. God's not going to send these children to death. Because God is a merciful God. God is a happy God. God is a loving God. God is not going to destroy these children. But how many people died that night during that plague? Right. The scripture doesn't say that they spared them because they were young children. It was judgment. And judgment, friends, is a serious thing, because God will always give mercy, but then he'll give judgment every time. But God will give us a clear channel of mercy. But when we turn down the mercy, that's whenever they receive the judgment. You say, well, Dan, that sounds condemning. Well, it only is if you reject the mercy. If you reject the mercy, it's the most wonderful thing in the world because your confidence is nothing in your ability. I want you to realize this. This judgment was going to hit Goshen. Bible didn't say, he didn't say, I want you to be a goody two-shoes. You have got to be perfect. You have walked the line. You have got to walk. You have walked the razor's edge. You've got to be able to be where I can take my measuring tape out and I can measure how far your skirt is to the ground. I'm going to measure your sleeve to see how long your sleeve is. I'm going to measure all these things. Scripture never said anything about that. What did he say you're going to do? You must take the blood and put the blood on the doorpost. It doesn't say the blood on the doorpost plus your works.
Right.
He says you put the blood on the doorpost. So it don't matter if you fell flat on your face yesterday. It don't matter if you gave in to rebellious spirit and you walked away from the Lord. You take the blood and you strike the doorpost. And the blood will be the voice for you. And you say, Lord, forgive me. My confidence has nothing to do with how good I am because I am a wretched man. It reminds you of the righteous man and the poor man. He said, Lord, well, the righteous man says, Lord, I thank you that I am not like that man right there. I thank you, Lord, you have made me so holy. I thank you, you've made me so righteous. Thank you, Lord, for what you've made me. And the other man, he looked over and he said, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. God, forgive me. I've got mistakes. I've made failures, Lord. I have failed you over and over and over. There's nobody deserves to be saved, but Lord, I'm asking you, forgive me. God will hear that man's prayer.
That's right. Amen.
Lord, help me be that man. Help me not be the person that walks uppity when you go to a restaurant or something and you see people and you just condemn them for the way they're living their life. Brother Brown said, don't condemn the sinner. Live such a life that they will want what you have. You live such a holy life where they say, you know what? That's what I want. I want that happiness. I want that peace. But it goes back to our acceptance. My confidence has nothing to do with how good I can do because I live with Daniel Black every day. And you live with who you are. And we're the ones that whenever we have to kneel down at our altar and we pray, sometimes I feel like, Lord, how in the world do you spend so much time with me? I make more mistakes than anybody you've ever seen in your life. But I'll sit there and pray, and once I just stay there for the presence of the Lord, and all of a sudden that peace just comes right back. And you go back, and you feel like a son of God. You're always a son of God. But you start feeling like a son of God again. You say amen.
Amen.
Right.
We in ourselves, we're talking about a reality of seeking the will of God. There is a will of God, and while we're seeking this will of God, we have to remember we have an adversary. And this adversary, what he will do, let me show you something. As long as you are fed on the Word of God, and let's say the borders are right here, and so I want you to just imagine being a pastor, so to speak, and you've got a fence there, and you've got the borders. As long as you are in these borders, you've got honey, you've got milk and honey. You get everything that comes with it. You've got the blessings of the Lord. As long as you are right in here, because that's the will of the Lord. And that's in the Word of God. But whenever we start stepping out of that, the way of the transgressor is hard. Which whenever we step out of the Word of God, that's whenever those same storms can come against our life. But because we've gotten out of the Word of God, we've gotten out of the will of God, you can pray, but the Lord's not going to help you until you get those things right. How many times did Brother Branham, if someone come up to him and say, I need you to come pray and get this thing off me, Brother Branham. He said, no, wait a minute. He said, I need to pray and see, Lord, get the will of the Lord on the matter. He said, because what if the Lord allowed that thing to come on you because of a sin in your life, and then I go right there and take it off? He said, what kind of a position would I be in then? How many times would people be sick and they come to find out it's because of a sin that they did in their life and they left it there and God was leaving it there until they dealt with the situation? Is that the truth?
Yes.
So, Lord, I want to be in the will of God. And I don't want, Lord, let my prayer not be, Lord, give me a life of ease, but help me be in the will of God. If I start getting sick, there's times you'll be just like Job. He said, I would tempt Job, but he said, but you've got a hedge about it.
He said, you know what? He said, I'm going to pull the hedge back. You can do everything you want to him, but don't you touch his life. And bad circumstance after bad circumstance after bad circumstance happened to Job. That was a situation where Job stayed with the Lord, but God was allowing the temptation to prove Job to the devil. There will be times you'll go through trials where the Lord is just proving the devil, this is my son or daughter of God. They are going to persevere. They're going to curse you in your face, devil, so they can stand their ground. There's sometimes you'll do that. But then there will also be the times whenever there is because you have allowed something into your life. And I need to get this thing out of my life. And the Lord will allow those hardships to come to help you get it right. I'll show you an example. You give in your tithes. I say give tithes, not pay tithes. It's like a bill. I pay my bill. Pay my tithe. My bill. It's not a bill. It's God gave you your income. He could have asked you for 90%, but he's just asking you for 10%. When you give your 10% to the Lord and you say, Lord, this is yours, in the name of the Lord, I give it to you, with a grateful heart, you give that to the Lord, God will meet your needs. I'm telling you right now, I know he'll meet your needs. But you skip your tithes. Say, well, I've got this bill here coming up. If I pay this bill, I get tithes later on. You watch and see. You have a harder time getting those bills paid because you neglected to pay your tithes. I don't say that, I just said it. I'm telling you, you give it to the Lord first, and the Lord will meet your needs. I can't tell you how many times our car dealership will go through there, and we'll have a tough month, low month, and I'll give my tithes. It don't matter. We're giving tithes right off the bat. Before we do anything, we give our tithes. I have no idea why I'm on this subject, but there you go. I said, you know, I don't know how we're going to do it. We have no cars out, but you know what? I am giving my tithes. And customers I have never heard of in my entire life will call me up and say, I was referred to you. I'm going to come by you. And I'll sell more cars than I would have ever planned. Mm-hmm. People can call that coincidence. I call that giving your tithes. Mm-hmm. The Lord will meet your needs. So I have no idea where I got that, but just take that from the Lord. You want the blessings of your life and your financial part of your life? Because I'm telling you what, one of the biggest strains in marriages today is financial stress. Right. And a lot of that is because you give your tithes and your offerings. Don't forget the offerings. And I do not preach that to be like a prosperity preacher, but I'm telling you, I didn't even plan on this. There's no we're on here. But I just take that and do what you want with it. Noah preached 120 years. Get in the ark, but only 8 people were saved. People of that day undoubtedly knew how to build boats. They claimed to know God. Imagine this man standing here. He's telling them there's going to be water come from the sky. Listen to me, young people. He could say, you know what? He said, it's never at one time at this point ever rained before. What you call rain. At this point, they never had rain fall from the sky. And all of a sudden, this man stands here. He says, I have got a clear message from the Lord. I have heard from the Lord. There's going to be water come from the sky. That's ridiculous. It's never done that before. He says, but they said, you know what? Well, let's listen to what he says. Maybe the man did hear from the Lord. He says, he stands on his pedestal. He says, I have heard from the Lord. Water's going to come from the sky. We're going to build an ark. And the boat builders would look and say, you know what? Let's just listen to what he's got to say. Maybe you just never know. We're going to make this boat, this ark, out of gopher wood. And them guys were like, whatever. You mean to tell me you heard from the Lord and the Lord told you you're going to build a boat out of a gopher wood? Because if you take gopher wood and you stick it inside the water, you know what happens to it? It soaks up all the water. It's like a sponge. So he's going to tell me, you're going to tell me God, the one that created the trees, he told you to build an ark. First of all, you're telling me he's going to bring water from the sky. That's ridiculous. Then he's going to tell you, he told you to build this ark out of gopher wood. A wood that absorbs water? You're going to tell me that God told you to do that? That's ridiculous. Because they didn't know the will of God. Because the will of God is where they would take the other tree and they would beat it and beat the life, the raisin, out of that tree. And you would pour that raisin into a pot and you would heat it up, get it really, really hot. And then you would pour that onto the gopher wood. And what I say the gopher wood does, what's it do to water, young people? Sucks it up. That's right. You take that gopher wood and you take that raisin, that hot raisin, and you pour it
hand you the gopher wood because it soaks it up. It sucks up all that life from that tree that was being made out of it. That's a perfect type of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was beat on Calvary. All that was in God poured into Christ. All that was in Christ, he poured it into the church. They poured that life inside you. And because you're thirsty, you can absorb the life of Christ. The thing is, we need to be more thirsty. Because we have so many things in this world today to take that thirst away. The most wonderful thing a human body can drink is water. But they will have every substitute possible that you can drink. They'll call it flavored water. They'll call it bubbly water. They'll call it powdery with water. But then they'd like to tell you all the sugars that comes with the water. But the most purified thing you can have is water. Because you know, if you just drink the Gatorade, you're going to start having problems. If you just drink the bubbly, have problems. But if you drink water, you don't even have to tell it where to go because the water understands the will of God. You can drink that water and the body automatically knows, I need that water right here. It'll take that water and cook it right there. You don't have to tell it what to do. It's God's provided way. It works. There's no better provided way for a baby to tell you what it wants than cry. A baby will sit there, and you can give him a bell. You can say, little baby, Junior, if you need something to drink, here's the little bell. You ring this bell. 2 times means you want water. 3 times means you're hungry. 4 times means I'm going to go get your mama. She's going to change your diaper. You can tell Junior that all you want to, he's going to look at you and goo-goo gaga like, what are you talking about? You look funny. Ha-ha. You know how the babies do, kicking. Because that's not God's provided way. His provided way inside Junior is to cry. I need something from God. I'm going to cry. Lord, help me. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I have wet my diaper. He's going to cry because that is his God-given provided way that God gave him to do that. That is the will of God for the baby, to cry. Trust me. As parents, when you're little, the bell sounds so much better. There's nothing worse than a baby crying. You have no idea what in the world he's crying for. You're just trying to diagnose what kind of cry is it. Is it this? Is it that? But it's a provided way that God had given that baby. Same thing for an eagle. You can tell an eagle, Mr. Eagle, I'm going to give you a better way through our science and technological advancements that we've had for you to get rid of your loose feathers. All you've got to do is come stop by the veterinarian office on Tuesdays, and we will take the loose feathers out of you. You will fly better. You can tell Mr. Eagle to do that all he wants to. It'll never work. Because he's got a God-given thing inside him called the will of God. And all he's got to do is flap those powerful, powerful wings. And all of a sudden, when he flaps those powerful, powerful wings, the loose feathers start falling out automatically. You know what? Because what Brother Brennan called the loose feathers was the loose tongue. A little loose this, a little loose that, a little loose living. If you got a little bit of loose tongue, a little loose living, loose this, loose life, you're finding yourself or you're not walking as a disciplined Christian, you need to start flapping those wings again. What do you mean by flapping your wings, Brother Daniel? I mean, get in the Word of God. Get back in your prayer life and say, Lord, I need to get closer to you. Right. And when you're doing that in your prayer life, you may not see it in the physical thing, but you've got loose feathers falling off automatically. And the way that comes is through prayer, seeking God, and studying the Word. Say, Lord, I need this message. I need this message. God, I need it. When you take the time, you say, you know what? I've got this to do. I've got that to do. I've got this to do. But I'm stopping all this. I am going to take time, and I am going to seek God. I don't feel like it. I don't look like it. I'm going to seek God. When you do that, the loose feathers are coming out. I promise you. I can tell the Mr. Tree out there, we're coming into fall right now. I can say, Mr. Oak Tree, come to me. I've got a new technological advancement that you're going to love. You'll produce trees and leaves out there that the other pine trees will love to have. You're going to love this, Mr. Oak Tree. All you've got to do is wait for me to come up, and I will pull these leaves off of you, and you will be the best-looking tree you've ever done. Could you imagine seeing a science guy up in a tree pulling all these dead leaves off of the oak tree and say, Billy David, that sounds retarded. You're right. It does. All that oak tree has got to do is drink the water that's given to it. Don't try to be a pine tree. Don't try to be nothing else. You be who you are. That's the worst thing about today is people always try to be somebody else. You just be you. You're perfect. Just the way you are. Say amen. You don't have to sing like somebody else. Sing just like you. You sound wonderful just the way you are. Don't try to dress like somebody else. Just dress like you, as long as it's holy. Amen. All that oak tree's got to do is be an oak tree. And he can see God, and that new life will automatically push out them oak trees. See, Brother Daniel, that's not Will D. Well, it's, he went to the fisherman. If you want the new life on the inside, this is where it's going to come from. I can tell you, in the same formula that I've been talking about, a preacher can come up and say, I want to give you a new formula that you can have to do. We no longer have to meet at the altar anymore. We're beyond that. We no longer have to cry at church. We're beyond that. We're past that. We're in the message. We no longer have to have people lay their hands on us and pray for us. We're beyond it. We've got the message. All you've got to do now is just have the message. I want the life. Brother Brennan talked about how the baby is born and the baby don't move. The baby don't talk. The baby don't do anything. It's called a stillborn. He said, what you'll have to do is take that baby, flip him upside down, smack him on the hind end, all of a sudden, you know, that's all you hear for the next 2 years. Because he's always giving you God's provided way. I need a drink. I need a doctor. I need this. I don't even know what I need. I'm just crying. Sometimes you got to take that baby and give him a spanking. And friend, that's what we need sometimes. We need a good, fresh spanking. Where the Lord has spanked me on the hind end and say, get over there and get in your prayer life. Say amen. Get over there and listen to a sermon. You know what's expected of you. Spank on the hind end. Yes, Lord. And you know the reason the Lord does it, not to be mean. He's doing it because it's for your own good. If that player is on the football team and he's just going through the motion, he's just running, and the movement of the game is over here, and he's on this side, he's running, and he's like, I'm running fast, my heart's racing, I'm doing all these things, yay! But you're not even in the game. The game's over here. Spiritually speaking, friends, I preached a message today about the war soldiers. I didn't get to this part of it. And the war soldiers, I don't want to be the war soldier that just goes to get my GI Bill for pre-college. If I'm going to be a soldier, I'm going to be a soldier. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to walk straight. I'm going to do my salute right. I'm going to do it all right because I'm going to be a soldier that's in action. I'm going to be a soldier that's making an impact. And the only way you can do that is being in your position and you fulfilling your position. It's like it's easy to see someone else's will for their life. You examine yourself this morning. You say, Lord, where am I at in my experience? What is the will of God for my life? Because when you do that, friends, you can look at yourself and you will automatically see the things I've got to take care of. Because you've got this right here. You say, Brother Daniel, I am way past that. I don't have anything I need to work on. I am pretty solid. You meet me after service. You say amen. Mm-hmm. Because you're in this battle. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now watch what the will is. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You say amen. God chose me. I didn't choose God. God chose you, and God predestinated you. God's will is to reveal himself. God's will is to redeem the earth and his people, but he's a gentleman, and he will not force himself on anyone. You say amen. In the beginning, he had attributes to be a father, healer, comforter, redeemer, but just having the attributes doesn't make him those things. That is why he allowed the fall of the garden, so he could become all those things. And the devil can't do anything unless God allows it. That's something that I'm telling you in this time. I think that's something the Lord is trying so hard to get across to us. The devil can't do anything unless God allows it. You know, we are all familiar with the quote. It says that one day she will be an invincible army. She'll have the word of God. She'll know what to do with it. We have that. And if we're not careful, we will put that at another day of saying, yes, one day we will become that invincible army. One day we'll become that invincible. We are that invincible army right now.
Right.
How are we the invincible army? It's because that devil can't do anything unless God allows it to. And that means when we walk circumspectly with the word of God, and what do I mean by circumspectly? That means you learn from your mistakes. When you find yourself walking toward that and you start finding yourself in this thorn bush, so to speak, you start to learn after a while, you know what? If I start walking over there, I'm going to get in the thorn bush. If you take a cat and you rub it backwards, it's going to claw you. You probably learn after a while, quit rubbing it backwards. Don't pet the cat at all. I got a cat at our house, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with it. Scratch my truck, you know, a little fur ball, like, slingshot. God, you're telling me, get that thing out of here. I don't mean to be funny, but I think it's good to smile a little bit. Keep everyone, say amen. I would never do that. But you know what? We can walk circumspectly. I just see myself being like, wow, that would be bad, wouldn't it? We need to walk circumspectly. When you see certain things like that, you take control.
Right.
Don't rub the cat at all. Get the cat completely away from you. You'll have things in your life that will cause problems with you, and you find out every time I start going this round, these are the signs that start to take place.
That's right.
And I remember the last time I was going through here, it didn't work out though. I found myself in something I shouldn't be in. I am going to walk away right now.
Yep.
And the best thing you can do is walk away. Listen to me. You start seeing those familiar signs of temptation coming around you. Walk away. Don't try to reason with the devil. Don't try to say, well, I'm stronger now. I was stronger than I was. I can get close to it now because I'm stronger than I was. You start seeing those signs, walk away. Don't reason with the devil. Because he will reason you. He is a slicker. He'll talk you into doing it before you know it. And the next thing you know, he'll have you robbing the bank while he's calling 911 and getting the cops like that. Walking circumspectly in this aspect of it is learning from your mistakes. I know the last time I went, taking your bicycle down this certain route, and I remember I was told not to ride it on Sunday because I'll get that mud all over my back.
I'll learn from my mistakes. I don't want mom to get mad at me. I'm not going to ride my bicycle. Because I'm going to learn from my mistake. Because I know mama will be mad. Learn from your mistakes. If you're going on the internet and you start seeing certain things and certain things start popping up, learn from your mistakes. Mm-hmm. You walk away.
Right.
Turn it off. And walk away. Because if you try to reason with the devil and you try to fight it by yourself, you're going to get hooked every time. Amen. If you start listening to the music and you're going down the road and that beatbox music starts coming on, the rock and roll starts coming on, and you start listening to it, turn it off and walk away. Because if you're not careful, you'll sit there and you'll get sucked right into it. You'll listen to it. And you know what happens after you do it that first time? Used to. Years ago, they actually put cocaine in Coca-Cola. Did you know that? They put cocaine in Coca-Cola. Why would they do that, Brother Daniel? Because whenever you drink that, you're addicted to it. And you've got to keep having Coca-Cola. That's actually got Coke. Because it's an addiction. And whenever you listen to that music just a little bit, that's just like a little bit of lace of that cocaine. And you're hooked. And next thing you know, you're going down the road, and that old devil will make it stronger and stronger and stronger. So I'm telling you, the borders I told you of the pasture, that's not in there. You say, Brother Dan, what does it matter with rock and roll music? Why does it matter? It's the spirit that leads that thing. Because rock and roll music will lead you straight into an adulterous life, an unfilthy life. It's a filthy spirit. Why do you even have to justify it? It's a filthy spirit. You say amen. Don't try to reason with it. Turn it off. You start feeling that reason of whenever you feel that temptation of the girl or the boy, vice versa, and you're stepping beyond the borders you're supposed to be stepping in, turn it off right then and walk away. Amen. Because there's a will of God, but we got a devil who's as an adversary. And you have to understand, if you're not seeing the devil, if you don't see where he's at, trust me, he's there. I promise you. If you're not identifying in your prayer life, what do you mean by that? Let me show you this. And you're led, because we're supposed to be led by the Spirit. You say amen. Because the Scripture says, if you let be led by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So when we are walking in the Spirit and we are being led by the Spirit of God, we're doing these things. When those temptations try to come, it doesn't even come close to the Word of God. You're going to feel convicted. But in your life, because you're walking in the Spirit, you're being led by the Spirit, you're going to be able to identify these things that are trying to come into your life. We need to be able to identify this is the enemy right here. I know because I am walking in the Spirit of God. I am singing hymns in my heart. I'm melodating in my heart. It's important to do those things because it keeps your mind right. You're meditating on the songs of God, Scripture. You're walking in the Spirit of God. And when you're walking in the Spirit, these temptations will come through there and you can identify them. And when you identify them, then you can go to your prayer closet and say, Lord, I am fighting this battle. That devil is trying to pull me over here. I am trying to walk straight, Lord. The Lord is pulling me toward. I'm feeling tempted by these things, Lord. I need your help. Scripture says you'll never be tempted more than you can bear. You'll always live away from this day. You need to be able to identify. You say, Brother Daniel, I don't have any. Trust me, they're there. You need to identify them. Because he is as a roaring lion seeking to be made to bear. You identify the devil. Could you imagine being on the football team and say, I don't know who the other opponent is? Sounds silly. Could you imagine? Down, set, huh? Who's my enemy? Who am I going toward? You need to know who your enemy is. And on the football field, at that present time, he's your enemy. At that present moment, I'm going to stop him at all costs, as long as it's legal, in the game. Because I know who my enemy is. We need to know who our enemy is. You need to identify your enemy, and when you identify them, you can say, every one of them, you can have victory over. Every devil, you can have victory over. I don't care what kind of devil it is, because you know what? You might be this tall of a Christian. You might be a giant like Brother Tony of a Christian. But you know what? In darkness, if we turned all this light out, I could take one little match and light that, and it don't matter where you go, that darkness will leave. No matter where you go, it don't matter how dark it is, it don't matter how cold it is, it don't matter how hot it is, it don't matter. That
Fear is a liar. He'll captivate your mind. He'll make you worry. When you stress over these things, it is a devil. Take the match of the Word of God. And you walk toward it and say, that's a lie, devil. He said he'll meet all my needs. You'll never see the righteous forsaken begging for bread. You're a lie, devil. By his stripes, I was healed. You're a lie, devil. We are more than conquerors. You're a lie, devil, because not famine, sword, nakedness, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. You're a liar, devil. Because devil will make you feel like you've done it. You're done. You've made your final mistake. It's over for you. There's no hope for you now. You may as well not even pray anymore. Don't you even sing anymore, you hypocrite. Don't you raise your hand, you hypocrite. You know the mistakes you did. You know what you did during the week. You fell flat on your face. You willingly walked away. The Lord told you to get up and pray. You didn't get up and pray, you hypocrite. He's a liar.
That's right.
You say, I am not counting on myself. I am counting on nothing but the blood of Jesus. I am saved by the grace of God, not because I deserve it, because I don't. I'm full of mistakes, devil. But I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is my refuge. That is my hope. That is my everything. I don't care about what I did right. I don't care what I did wrong. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where our confidence must be, because that don't change. The days change. The weather's change. We change. God don't change. God's word's the same. And he chose us before the foundation of the world. In today's, in the game of football, you can choose an opponent and a player. If he don't start performing, you'll take him out of the game. This is a different kind of game, brothers and sisters. He ain't going to take us out of the game. He's going to whip us on the hind end and get back in game. Get back in your position. You get back up and you start running with the ball. I have called you to be a son or daughter of God. I have called you to be more than conquerors. I have called you to be happy. I have called you to be full of joy. I have called you for all these things. Now rise up and take your position. Say amen. Because you know what? I am right with you. I've got this flesh, man. I know what it's like to feel depressed. I know what it's like to feel down. I know what it's like to have worries. I know what it's like to have these things, because you know what? I can preach to myself. I can do it just like Paul said. I don't preach these things as though I've apprehended. But I am pressing toward the mark in Christ. I am forgetting those things behind me. I am pressing forward. Say amen. It don't matter how much I may have made mistakes. It don't matter what I've done. It don't matter what I've worried about. I'm saying Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It don't matter how bad I feel. God said I'm healed, and I am healed. Amen. I'm telling you what. We need to exercise our spiritual appetites again. We need to start exercising ourselves. I am a son of God, and I am proud of it. You know, you take a young couple. Let's say, Mrs. Jones. I won't even pick on my wife today or anybody in here. Let's just say Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones gets married. Oh, she wakes up that next day. Shoulders back, however y'all stand. I don't know how you stand. But you're walking forward, and boy, you probably don't walk like I'm walking. That's probably kind of funny, but you get what I'm saying. But she walks with a little bit of a strut. You know why? She is Mrs. Jones. She has got the name, and she is proud of it. She walks through, and she walks to the secret market. They'll say, or they go to the restaurant, and they say, what's your last name? It's Miss Jones. She's proud of that name. Mr. Jones has Miss Jones coming to his workplace. Boy, he's proud. Sees that long hair, long dress. He sees the way she conducts herself, because he's had such a terrible day. All of a sudden, he sees Miss Jones come through, and all of a sudden, his shoulders roll up. It's like, that's my wife. That's my wife. You go through there, and you just hang her by the arm, and you like, look back, that's my wife. What is it? They are associating themselves to the name. They are proud of that name. It's a wonderful thing to be Miss Jones. It's a wonderful thing for him to have a Miss Jones that accepted his name. What am I saying? To be a Christian, friends, it's accepting the name of Jesus. We should be the most proud group of people to have the name Jesus Christ. When you're walking as a Christian, you be proud of the color that you've been called to. Walk with
parlance of the day. The slave owner. He was looking through there and he said, he's looking at all his slaves, looking to buy a slave, and all of them beat down. You got this one slave out there. Maybe he wasn't a real big guy, but you know what? He had his chest back. He was walking. He said, I want that slave. This guy was working hard. He was doing, and I imagine all the other slaves respected him. This guy kept walking through, and he said, I want that slave. He said, he's not for sale. He said, well, what's wrong with him? Did you make him a leader? No. Well, why is he so much different? He said, well, I always wondered that myself, and one day I figured it out, that his father is a king of a tribe. And he knows his father is a king. And because he knows his father is a king, he conducts himself like a king. Amen. The way we conduct ourselves is our testimony. You can say all day long, I'm a Christian, but if your life speaks louder than your testimony, it's not going to work. I'm going to give you just a couple of quick testimonies, just real quick. I like to talk about what the Lord does. I think he likes to hear it. I had this situation where the other day, I gave my pen away. And anyone that knows me, I'm very touchy about my pens. I like them. And I think a lot of it's because when I was younger, I never had them. I always had to borrow one, borrow a pencil. So I've got my pens, and I like my pen. Don't touch my pen. I'm not mean about it, but it's my pen. Well, I had this guy that's coming through, and I was selling this truck, and I was going to install leather inside this truck. The guy that comes up to do the leather, he comes up, he says, oh, I forgot my pen. I said, I'll tell you what. And I actually hesitated for just a second. And I thought, well, I truly felt the Lord tell me, give him your pen. I know it sounds silly, honest truth. I said, here, take my pen and you keep that. And it really was a sacrifice to me. I really liked that pen. I know it sounds silly, but I like the pen. I've had it for a long time. Gave him the pen. I said, here, you take that. He said, I know you like your pen. I said, nope, you take that. Don't worry about it. Gave him my pen. I walked away. And if you ever done that point where you gave something, all of a sudden you're like, ugh. Honest truth. I gave him that pen and I walked away. I was like, oh my goodness, I gave him my pen. I love that pen. And now all I got is these junky pens inside my deal. But I said, but I'll deal with that. Honest truth. We're looking at the front of the dealership is right here. You go through this door, my desk is right here, my office. I wanted to go grab that, open that deal up, and the Lord, I'm telling you, just as clear as I'm telling you right now, I felt the Lord tell me, he said, the Lord can provide you a pen, but not only provide you a pen, he can put your name on it, have it inscribed, bubble wrap, special delivery just for you, because God knew you was going to need a pen right now. And I kind of chuckled to myself, I grabbed just a junky pen, closed the drawer, turned around, walked around the corner, and as I had put my foot around the door, around the corner, the front door is opening up. The owner of the place walks through, has a package in hand, bubble wrapped. He said, Daniel Black, I've got a special delivery for you. He said, it's wrapped in bubble wrap. I said, oh, my goodness. My heart started. I said, surely not. Opened that thing up. It was a pen that had my name on it, inscribed with my address, special delivery, and bubble wrap. You tell me God don't care about the small things. Honest truth. Well, this had happened, this transpired. A couple days later goes by. I'm sitting at the desk. I'm filling out the paperwork on my pen. And one of the guys from service was standing up there. He said, Daniel, I really like your pen. I said, well, let me give you a quick testimony about how that happened. So I gave him the testimony about what God had done through me for my pen. And I didn't think nothing else about it. Went on about my day. Probably 3 or 4 days later comes by, pays Daniel Black, come see Kevin Wood at service. Okay, I don't know what it was. I go to service. This guy is huge. This guy, I ain't kidding you, he's probably this tall. He's probably about that wide. He's bald, got a big goatee. He's a big old guy. Big old guy. I'm actually going to hire him for sales. It didn't quite work out, so I had to put him out in service. Big old guy. He's standing back here. He says, Daniel, I got to talk to you. He puts his hands on there, tears in his eyes. He said, you remember that testimony you told me about that pen? I said, I do. He said, you know what? I've got to think about it. You told me that God cares about the small things, and God will give you exactly what you have needed at that time. Do you remember that? Yes, I do. I remember that. He said, I needed $50 so bad. I didn't know what I was going to do. I needed $50. He said, I prayed. I said, Lord, I believe he's a minister of God. I believe you work through him. And he said that you will give me the $50 or give us what I have need of when I need it. I'm asking you that, you would answer my prayer the same way that you helped him. He said, Daniel, honest truth. He said, I have no idea where this come from. He said, I needed $50. I needed the $50. He said, and I was on my way to go tell people I don't have the money to pay them. I stopped at the mailbox. There was a check in the mail for $50 inscribed to me with my name on it. He started bawling. And then service department. And I'm like, oh, God bless you, brother. You know, he's excited. He said, man, he said, that's not all. That is not all. Let me tell you something else. He said, I have been waiting on this other check to come through. He said, because I had these other bills that are due. I didn't know what I was going to do. He said, those things come due. He started bawling more. I said, well, praise the Lord, brother. God cares about the small things. And let me show you something. It's those small things that God does in our life. It's when we testify about those small things, you're affecting people out there. There's a lot of times you feel like, how am I going to reach anybody out there? Because nothing dynamic happens, nothing great happens. Nothing great happens in my life. Feels like it's the small things. When you take and value those small things, you watch how the Lord will move on you. And he'll help you with the big things. Amen. So anybody that see you, one Brother Daniel, I am. I want the will of God in my life. I want to be able to, you can look at Brother Brenham's life. You can look back and you say, I can see God in his life through here. God did this, God did this, God did that. God wants us to see that in our side too. God wants you to look at your life and you can say, God did this in my life. God did this in my life. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest things that you as a son or a daughter can do for a father is acknowledge the things he does for you. See, amen. The greatest thing a wife can ever do is acknowledge the things that your husband does for you. Take the time. So, you know, I really, really appreciate everything you do. That's how I give my wife kudos. She all the time. She'll put a note in the paper, especially in the paper, in my lunchbox. I take my lunch every day. She'll put my lunch in there, and she'll say, I want you to know I really appreciate it. It's the little things. Brother Brown talked about one time about the man. He had this man had a wife that wasn't believing. She wasn't serving the Lord. And he wanted to really get the devil out of her. So this man, he goes home. I'm going to ask my wife to come up. I said, I'm going to use her. I'm going to. This man calls his wife. He said, Brother Brenham, he said, I've got this problem with my wife. She's not a believing wife. She's an unbeliever. He said, so I did the only thing I knew that any good Pentecostal can do. I'm not using maybe the exact words he said, but he just walked up to her, picked her by the hand. Satan, come out of her! Satan, come out of this wicked woman! You can imagine her result was probably about like that right there. And he chased her all over the living room. She tried getting away from him. You can sit down now. Just go ahead and stand. He chased her all over the living room. He put his hands on her and said, Satan, come out of this wicked woman. Come out of her. Get out of her. Leprosy or whatever it was, you know. And he said, you know what, Brother Brown? He said, she ran all the way from me. It was a disaster. He said, could you imagine Brother Brown's face when he said it? Like, I knew. He probably just knew he did it before every time, but, you know, by vision. But he said, brother, don't do that. Buy her chocolates. Buy her flowers. And I'm just going to say this, a little thing. When you're going through public, just reach over and just take her by her hand. When you're walking through public. I'm telling you, that right there will speak more volumes than anything. Is that the truth? Sometimes you want the great fireworks. Sometimes you want to say, Satan, come out of her. Cast that devil out. It won't work. But I'm telling you, he'll do the little things. Buy our chocolates. Buy our flowers. You'll chase devils away. Mm-hmm. Something for the wives. I remember one time, as a quick testimony, I remember I was working at the lube shop, or William Chevrolet. I was selling tires and doing the oil changes and everything, and I had just a disastrous day. Anybody ever had a bad day? I'm the only one. I see some of you nodding. I'm telling you, if it could go wrong, it went wrong and then some. Everything. Tire machine broke down, lift broke down, everything that could possibly go wrong was going wrong. And all day I was like, Lord, help me. I'm striving. Loose feathers are just flying. I'm praying so hard. Lord, help me. This is the worst day I've ever had in my life. And I'm pressing through and pressing through. And it was just a miserable, miserable, miserable day. And we lived in an apartment in Panama. I remember I pulled up and I was so miserable. And I always try, I try to never bring that negativity home. I try to always be positive, upbeat, the best I can. And I remember I'd come through there and I just really did not feel it. I was just really down. I got inside the house and my wife was in there doing the dishes. And I walked through there and she could tell. Because you know what? That was her field, was me. She's my helpmate. And her identifying the devil was seeing how that devil was working on me. And she recognized, she identified it. She didn't realize at the time, possibly. She identified the devil. She was standing there doing the dishes, and all of a sudden, she started creating a little atmosphere. All of a sudden, I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm hearing the same thing. And all of a sudden, he just got like, yo. Brother Black just cuts loose. And I start creating a little atmosphere. She starts creating an atmosphere. What am I saying? She didn't go up to me and say, cast the devil out of him. He's a wicked man. She created an atmosphere. And that's something that we can do. It's the little things. You can create an atmosphere in your home, in your school, at your work, if you're doing the dishes. You can create an atmosphere in your midst where that devil has to leave. Scripture says, sing your hymn, sing your song. You think, how many knows you can cast spirits out of the devil? Cast the spirits out of the songs. Mm-hmm. Saul would do what? Call David. Say, David, come play for me. David would play that music, and that old evil spirit would leave Saul. What was it? He was creating an atmosphere. We're still talking about the will of God. This is the will of God, redemption. But we are living here on our way to redemption. And on your way, this is how you make this a better journey. Because you can make it the hard way or you make it the easy way. Either way, we're going. Say amen? Not a hoof left behind. And I want you to, if God has to take me the hard way, take me the hard way because I want to go. But I'd much rather go the easy way. It's all stupid. Seeking the will of God. I want to turn to read one more scripture. It's Romans chapter 8, chapter 1. Oh, I'm sorry, Romans 8, verse 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Listen to that. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Go ahead. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. We can have confidence. We can have confidence that as I am striving towards this goal, the same Spirit that called me to this word, the same Spirit that's inside me when I receive the Lord truly in my heart, is going to be the same Spirit that's going to change my body when I get over there. And right before I close, I'm going to show you something. Shepherds would go through a spell of time with their sheep where their sheep would actually have flies that would land on top of them and get in their nose, and it actually make little worms that come up inside that sheep's nose. And that sheep would actually go insane. He would just itch all the time, his nose. And that sheep would actually go up to a rock because he's so going crazy, he'll literally beat his head on a rock. And that shepherd would actually take an anointing, some oil, and put on that sheep's head. Put it all over his face. You can do the listen to it. They'd take this oil, put it all over that sheep's head, and it'd keep the flies away. And when that sheep goes through there, because what would happen is that sheep would get so going crazy because them flies on his nose driving him insane. He will go crazy and he'll be unrested all the time. And he'd make all the other sheep unrested also. And that's the way the devil will do a family. He will make one person. It can start with one person. And then things are coming at you and you just feel like you're absolutely going crazy. You're stressing, you're worrying, you're going every different direction. That shepherd would take that little sheep, take the oil, pour it all over his face, and it would keep those flies away from that sheep. Sometimes we need some oil. Sometimes we need a fresh anointing that Lord said, Lord, change my thinking. Anoint me afresh today. Anoint me, Lord. Put that oil all over my face. I don't care how I look. Pour it all over my face, all over my hair, all over my ears. Anoint me, Lord. Keep them flies away from me. Because I want to rest. I need peace. I need joy. I need love. Because the devil will keep you frightened so much, you don't have these things. And there's nothing wrong with you other than the flies. How many of you say, Lord, I need a touch of the oil this morning. Anoint my face, Lord. Keep these things away from me. And I'll give you something to study this week, too, about the anointing on the flies that will get up on their nose and drive them nuts, and they will literally beat their head on the wall, beat their head on the rock, get some thorn bushes, the anointing oil. And there is an anointing oil this morning the Lord can put on us, and it will bring peace to our home, peace to our church, peace to our family. Let's all bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I just want to thank you for your grace and your mercy this morning. Lord God, I've told you, Lord, through my prayers, Lord, that I've had such a burden of what to say, but I don't know how to go about saying it, Lord. I've just given you my best this morning, Lord. Lord God, of seeking your will for our life, Lord. Lord God, help us individually to all know our position in your word, Lord. And Lord God, these flies that try to come upon us, Lord, they're little stress devils, Lord. Lord, they make us worry about things we shouldn't worry about, Lord. It'll cause the human, man or woman, it'll make you fret so much that you don't even have any peace anymore. But Lord, you have not called us to that. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Lord, your word says that we are more than conquerors, Lord. Lord God, I'm asking you, Father, that you will anoint us afresh this morning with your anointing, Lord. Lord God, that you'll put such an anointing upon us that the old devils can't even get to our thinking. Lord God, help us to think on the right things, Lord. Help us to think on the good testimonies that you've done in our life, Lord. Because, Lord, the devil tries so hard to make us not even acknowledge the things you're doing in our life on a daily basis. Lord, forgive us. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for what you've done in our life. God, the hands that have gone up across this building, Lord, you know the needs behind those hands. I'm asking you, Lord, that you'll break every yoke that would try to bind us, oh God. Lord Jesus, and give us a fresh anointing this morning on our life. Anoint our thinking. Anoint our hearing, O God. Lord God, help us to walk circumspectly in your gospel, Lord, of acknowledging the will of God in our life, Lord. And Lord, realizing that there's changes that we need to make about certain things, Lord, that will do the things that we need to do, Lord. Lord, you know the things that were spoken, most of the things I didn't even have on my notes, Lord. I ask you, Lord, touch every heart, Lord. Let them not take anything of an offense, Lord. But Lord, help them to receive it from you, Lord, if it's according to your word. Lord God, and help us, Lord, to stand in our position that you've called us to. Lord, and help us to receive the anointing. Lord God, as the prophet told us, listen to the tapes. Rapturing faith is on those tapes. Lord, there's an anointing.
Help us, oh God. That old devil will try so hard to distract us. Lord, the devil will try so hard to take the prayer life away. Lord, help us to drive the stake in the ground this morning. So, Lord, no matter how hard I'm feeling, no matter how busy I'm going to make time to pray. I'm going to make time to seek God. Lord, help us this morning. Lord God, you know each heart, Lord. Lord God, if there's any sin that's hovering over their head, Lord, this morning, Lord, help them to not look at their own capabilities, but to look to the blood, Lord. Because, Lord, your word says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And, Lord God, there's blood available this morning. Help us, Lord God. Lord, receive us this morning, Lord. Receive your blood this morning, Lord. Lord, that's where our confidence is, Lord. Not in our abilities, but by your blood. Lord God, I ask you, receive us now. In Jesus' name. Anybody that we can receive the Lord right there where we prayed at, and there's not a thing wrong with that. If you're going through something, you say, Brother Daniel, I want to pray through on this thing. You come on up here, and Brother Tony and I, we'll pray with you. Because there ain't no devil got any business picking on any of you. There is no devil got any business stirring up frustrations in your home. So I'm telling you, our home should be like a sanctuary. When someone comes into our house to the world, they should say, boy, there's such a peace in this home. There should be a difference. Amen. Because we're different. The word is different. The word's what makes us different. Our life, our home, should be a sanctuary. Your work environment should be a sanctuary. Your laundry room should be a sanctuary. You see, Brother Daniel, I'm fighting devils. You better believe it. We'll all fight devils. But you've got to take control of the sanctuary. You've got to put order in the sanctuary of where you're at in your life. You've got to take control. Because if you don't, and if it's a daily deal, just like a garden, Brother Tony, you've got to work that garden every day. Because if you go a few weeks and quit working it, then weeds will come back. You don't have to go out there and put the seed. They'll be there. But you've got to keep weeding, you've got to keep hoeing, you've got to keep working every day. Because I'm telling you what, when you do the right things, God will bring fruit in your life. That's right. God will bring forth fruit in your life. You want fruit in your life when you're at school, I'm telling you how to do it. You put God first in these things. You say, God, I am putting you first. I'm asking you to meet every need among me right now, Lord. Amen. Let's go ahead and ask the musicians to come forth if you don't mind. I want the peace that passes all understanding. I want the peace in my heart. I want the peace in my home. I know what it's like to go for a while and let that devil steal that peace from me. I know what that's like. And I know what it's like to get it back. Say amen. I'm talking to soldiers here. I'm not talking to somebody out there. I'm talking to people that are in the trenches. We're in the trenches together. I'm not saying sitting here with my clean clothes and I am in the trenches right with you. Brother Daniel, you're saying all these things. I'm telling you, I'm just like you. I've got to get back to the office and, Lord, this has been such a frustrating day. Help me, Lord. Get right back up and keep pressing. But tell me, is that the truth? It's a daily battle. Y'all help me sing a song? Let's sing that song. It's okay. What's the name of that song? Yes, that's it. Do you have me sing that song, Bill?
And God spoke to Moses and told him what to say to the children of Israel in Goshen that day. The blood struck the post and the door. Now as to the needs of this land, smite all the firstborn.
That's what Tony did for.
Let the death angel pass.
Find your position in the will of the Lord.
Amen.
That's certainly where we want to be, and everybody is a gifted. I was listening to a sermon recently, and the minister was talking about how the scriptures say that a man's gift will make room for him. And in other words, when a man finds where he belongs in the Lord, and he's doing what he's supposed to be doing in the Lord, then, you know, that channel just opens right up for him. Amen. And how the brother was saying that he's heard people say, well, you know, I have a call to preach, but nobody calls on me. Nobody wants to use me. Everybody's holding me down. And he said, that's not possible, because a gift of God will make rooms for itself, because it's a gift from God. And God's gifts always find their place. And so we want to just seek the will of the Lord and find our position in the plan of God. And when he puts you in a spot like that, there's nobody in all the universe that can replace you, because that's a spot just for you. And so, you know, it's kind of hard for us to imagine that the creator of the universe would absolutely be willing, would be thinking about us and have a plan for us, and that we actually would fit in a plan for him. But it's true. He has a place for you, and he's gifted you such, and the body needs you in that way. And so we thank the Lord for speaking to us this morning. God will put you in a place where the characteristics that he's put in you will benefit, the body will benefit from that. The other day I was talking about gopher wood, and how silly that sounds like, about taking gopher wood to make a boat out of it, because it's porous. You know, I don't know. When Brother Daniel was talking about it, I thought, well, gopher wood, you know, gophers, once they've been in your yard, they leave all kinds of holes in it.
Yeah.
And so maybe gopher wood is called gopher wood because it's got all these holes in it or whatever. Just would be the last thing that you would think that could be used to make a boat. But they'd pitch it, put that coating and stuff around it. And if you know how that works, that what God had Moses do was an engineering marvel, because it became something that was very strong but yet lightweight. And that can keep the water out, but yet lightweight, because, you know, when you're building a boat, it needs to be light, it needs to be able to float. And so, but yet it needs to be strong. And so what the Lord had him do was something that today, even engineers today, try their best to figure out new materials. It's lightweight and yet strong, right? And so they're still looking for something like that today. So you may feel like that there's no place for you, but if God will pitch you inside and out, put something on the inside of you and cause you to have a testimony on the outside, and he can put you somewhere and nobody can take you out of that position. You'll be strong and in that position. And so you just want to seek the Lord and ask God, Lord, show me what you want me to be and what you want me to do, and find that position. And you know, as you'll find out, I've said this before, you know, you take a basketball player that's really good or something like that, and you know, it's not so much a struggle for him to be a good player, because that's what he is.
Yeah.
You take somebody else that's not, and he can struggle all day long and never be able to do what the other guy can who's made that way. And so you can be what God wants you to be in his kingdom, and it's really not a struggle for you. Just be yourself. And that's something I've always said to the young people when they're looking for a spouse. Just be yourself. Don't be trying to pretend nothing. And if somebody falls in love with you when you're being yourself, then the day after your marriage, you don't, there's no surprises. They wake up the next day and it's the same person that they've known all along. So you just be yourself. And that's the way God wants us. He wants us to be what he's made us. Amen. And so that's why we know that he wants us to be like that. And so Brother Daniel mentioned about, don't worry about the other guy. Right? Don't worry about the other guy. Concentrate on you. And that's true. And when he said that, I thought about how that in the resurrection, when Jesus was meeting with his disciples, and he said to Peter, Peter, feed my sheep. And Peter got, the Lord said that three times, and Peter's like, got kind of grieved at heart, and he turned around and he poured into John. And he said, well, Lord, you're asking me to do all this stuff. What about that guy? What do you want him to do? You know, and Jesus said, if it's my will that he tarry till I come, what's that to you? You follow me. So that's a scriptural principle. God is not going to judge you about what the guy next to you is doing. God is going to talk to you about what he's commissioning you to do, and what how you're obedient or not obedient. I never would take my son Benjamin and spank him for something that Anna has done. All right? It don't work that way.
Right.
Correction comes to you by your parent or by your heavenly father because of you, what you do. It's not somebody else's fault. But this is something we live in an age right now where everybody wants to blame everybody else, and it's just not so.
Right.
You know, it's me. I am in the need of prayer, right? It's you. You're in the need of prayer. And so Brother Daniel's right when he said Satan is a liar. That's right. He will tell you if he opens his mouth, he's lying to you. And you just want to take the word of God, take that word and light that candle, right? You'll find a scripture, and that's why it's important for you to read your Bible.
Yeah.
You'll find a scripture that applies to the situation that you're in, where Satan's trying to tell you God don't love you. And a good one that even, I think he, Brother Daniel mentioned, was the scriptures where neither height nor depth or breadth or principalities or powers or things present, things to come, no nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What produced the atonement on Calvary for you? For God so loved. God so loved that he produced Jesus Christ, a perfect sacrifice for you. And so nothing can get you away from that love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So just use that one. Amen. Use that one. And I'll say this as we close. You know, the armor, the whole armor of God. You know, there's a helmet to protect your head. There's a breastplate of righteousness for protecting, you know, your chest or whatever. Your feet shod with preparation of the gospel. All those pieces of armor have a certain place, but there's one that's called the shield of faith. And you can use that anywhere you need to. Right? Anything that Satan throws at you, you can use that. It's a do-all. Faith in the word of God.
Yeah.
Right? And then you've got the sword of the Spirit to strike back with. It is written. It is written, and that's what we want to do. When he was mentioning back there, and I was just thinking, kind of assessing my own battles that I fight, you know, and it's so easy to get out there and fight with the devil when you feel the presence of God, and when you feel the anointing of God, and you're like empowered. I'm ready to hit at it, you know.
Yeah.
But most days you don't feel that way.
That's right.
It's those days where God still wants you out there fighting with the devil. And it's in those hours where you don't feel it that you have to say, it is written. Do you know when God created heaven and earth, he didn't say, let there be, and it just instantly happened. God had to believe in his own word.
That's right.
Right? God had to sit there, and after it was spoken, he had to wait and believe that his own word was going to come to pass. And you've got to do the same thing. Take that promise, the promise from the Word of God, set it out there in the face of the devil, and I don't care if it takes years, you set it out there, and God will bring it to pass. But you've got to do that, and it's most of the time, it's in those times where you don't feel it, right? But you've got to fight. And soldiers don't get up and fight only when they feel like fighting.
That's right.
Soldiers have to get up and fight continually all the time. Amen. So you appreciate what you heard today?
Amen.
I know, Brother Daniel, I'm going to kind of venture out a little bit here, but if he's like me and he's expecting someone to be here, he has a certain expectation in his heart that he's going to be able to minister something to them people, and then when they don't show, it really takes a lot of, I don't know what to say, but it takes a lot out of you, you know, because you have such an expectation to share this gospel with people that need to hear it, that, you know, and so I know that Brother Daniel was laboring this morning under a burden there of a certain amount of disappointment there, but I think the Lord still spoke to us. Amen. So that's one thing that one minister to another can understand and know exactly, you know. But anyway, let's sing another song as we get ready to dismiss. Do I know any? I know all kinds of songs, but I can't think of any of them right now. So I'm so glad that Jesus set me free.
Amen.
Set me free.